Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
Welcome somebody to church. Man, bless the name of the Lord. Glorify His holy name. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of honor. Amen. It's great to see all of you in God's house today. And I believe there's something else that the Lord wants to do in our lives. Amen. And we'll look at the word. I really want to preach for a short time, and then we can just continue to pray. Hallelujah. So let's turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 4. I know last week I told you that we are going to look at the topic today. Let brotherly love continue. We are not looking at that anymore. Something happened within the week, which I strongly felt that's what the Lord wants us to look at today. A time will come, we'll look at let brotherly love continue, but today we are looking at something different. Amen? Amen. To give you a bit of a background to this story, the first man on planet Earth was Adam. The first woman on planet Earth was Eve. And that was the first family. Hallelujah. Their firstborn was called Cain. And their secondborn was called Abel. And the Bible tells us that there was a time when Cain would offer an offering before the Lord and it would be received. Did I say Cain or Abel? You're not listening. Okay. So Abel would offer an offering to the Lord and then the Lord would receive it. And then somehow Cain's offering was not received. And because of jealousy, Cain kills Abel. And that is the first funeral in the Bible. And the first funeral is happening when there are no people. There's just one father and one mother. There's nobody coming to say, we are going to cover you. There's nobody who comes to say, let's pray for you. We are not told there was any pastor. Maybe God himself oversaw that funeral. We have no idea. But sometimes I like to think differently. And I begin to think, how did they handle it? First people on planet Earth. And they have this situation has happened to them. Who comforted them? Who covered them? Who dug the grave, if there was a grave? Who did everything else that had to happen in that funeral? And then God, because of what Cain does, God disowns Cain. And when you come to the book of Genesis chapter 4:13, God tells him that he's going to be a fugitive and he's going to be a vagabond. And God says, you shall be on the earth. You will be a fugitive. You'll always be running away from people. And you're going to be a vagabond. You never have a place where you can settle. And but eventually later we hear Cain establishes a city. He calls it by the name of his son Enoch. And then he carries on. But as you carry on, you come in verse 19 all the way to verse 24. You begin to see that the world is becoming more and more wicked. And verse 23, Lamech speaks to his wives. And the wives' name are Ada and Zillah. And he says, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. We don't know how he hurted him, but he says he was hurt by what this young man did. And because of what the young man did to him, because he felt hurt, Lamech decided that he's going to kill him. Hallelujah. And then Then Lamech says in verse 24, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Because of what I've done, I know I'll be avenged, and I'll be avenged 77-fold. But there's something else very interesting that we find in verse 25, and that's where I want us to go. The Bible says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. in verse 26. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. And this is long before they are known as Jews, long before they are known as Hebrews. All we are told is that here is a group of people. The world is as corrupt. The world is as evil. But there is a group of people who stand out in the midst of that corrupt society, and they begin to do one thing, and they begin to call on the name of the Lord. And as you carry on, they are not even known as Christians, they are not even known as Hebrews, they are not even known as Jews, they are only known as the people who call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that phrase drew my attention. And that's what we are going to look at today. The title of our message today is The Greatest Discovery of All Time. The Greatest Discovery of All That Time. What I would like to say to you today is this. You can hear as much word as you can hear. You can hear as much preaching as you can hear. But there is one thing you need to learn in your life, and that is to learn to call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They would gather together as we have gathered today. And they would gather together, and when they gather together, it was to seek the help of their Creator. I was asking myself as I was meditating on this scripture, and I'm saying, why do I go to church? Yes, I go to church to worship the Lord, but I also go to church to hear a word that can encourage me in my seasons of life. But I also go to church because I just want God to intervene in situations of my life. I have lived on planet Earth close to 52 years now. The needs in my life have never come to an end. It just looks like year after year, there are needs that are coming upon my life. And the Bible tells me there is a solution. And the solution is to call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the extent that when you go to Psalm 53, verse 4 to 5, and Psalm 14, verse 4 to 5, it's interesting that it's verse 4 to 5 in both scriptures. The Bible begins to describe those who refuse to call upon the name of the Lord, along with their results of their disobedience. And this is what it says quickly. It says, will the workers of iniquity never learn? They refuse to call upon the Lord. There they are, overwhelmed with dread, where there was nothing to fear. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this. There are so many things that we are afraid of that we don't need to be afraid of. And sometimes our hearts are so consumed with fear because we have not learned to call upon the name of the Lord. It doesn't mean that the situations are not there. When we are talking about peace, it doesn't mean the absence of drama. There will be drama in your life. There'll be things going on in your life. But when you begin to call upon the name of the Lord, I wonder what happens. There's just some serenity. There's just some peace. There's just some calmness that people begin to wonder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there are a few case studies I want us to look at, and then we're going to pray. The very first case study is Abraham. Abraham, before he's even called Abraham. Abraham, God speaks to him in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And God speaks to him there. And he says, now the Lord has said to Abraham, verse 1, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation in that land. I will bless you in that land. And I'll make your name great when you get to this land. And you shall be a blessing when you get to this land. And I'll bless those who bless you in that land. And I will curse those who curse you in that land. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And when the Bible is talking about all the families of the earth, it even talks about those of us in Malawi. Hallelujah. So Abraham leaves. After Abraham leaves,
The Bible tells us in verse 8 that he moved from there and then he comes to, let me just carry on, because he moved from there, he's talking about Shechem, which is Nablus. So he moved from there and to the mountains of the east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And then the Bible says, there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The man realizes there is something I need to do in my life. Yes, God has said he will make me a great nation. Yes, God has said he will bless me. Yes, God has said he will name my name, he will make my name great. Yes, God has said I shall be a blessing. Yes, God has said, I'll bless those who bless you. Yes, God has said, I'll curse him who curses you. Yes, God has said, in me all the families of the earth shall be blessed. But he realized one thing, I need to call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I need to call on the name of the Lord. And possibly he's calling upon the name of the Lord to thank him for what God has declared. But also, most importantly, when you come to verse 9, you begin to dig and understand that he is also seeking for God's protection and he is seeking for God's guidance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why is your amen weak? Hallelujah. So God, so here is Abraham. He realizes this life is a journey. I'm going to a land that I do not know. I've just come to this land because God has said, go to the land, I will show you. And I will do these things in your life. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And you'll be amazed what the Bible says. It says, for good works. For good works. Which God ordained, prepared beforehand, even before the world was created, that you should walk in them. Hallelujah. But you need to call upon the name of the Lord. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. You need to call upon the name of the Lord for divine protection. You have no idea what the devil wants to do with your life. You have no idea what the devil wants to do with your family. You have no idea what the devil wants to do with your children. You have no idea what the devil wants to do with your job. You need to call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, my eyes cannot see what the enemy is planning, but I'm calling upon you for protection. I'm calling upon you for guidance. We had a very interesting case this week as we were praying. Here is the system. We've been praying for her for a job. She gets a job. The job is not paying as much as she had thought it was going to pay. And she says, I'm in dilemma. I'm thinking of turning down this job. And I really need one thing, she says. She says, I just need the Lord's guidance. And she realizes, I cannot get guidance from man. I need to get guidance from the Lord. Whether I have to go for a low-paying job, if it is his will, or if I don't have to go for that job. It's not every job you pick. It's not every opportunity you take upon. It's not everything, children of God. Understand me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to say this to you. This life is a journey. This life is a journey. And this life, we have never been here before. We have never been here before. It looks like the same earth. It looks like the same sun. It looks like the same moon. It looks like the same rain. But this is 2023. And next year will be 2024. 2022 will never be again. And we need to call upon the name of the Lord. And you know what the Lord says? In Isaiah 30:21, you shall hear a word in your ear saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the left hand or whenever you turn to the right hand. In verse 9, the Bible tells us of Genesis chapter 12. He says, so Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. And as he was going, he knew, I've called upon my God. I love Moses. One time Moses is leading the children of Israel. And then he comes, I think, to Exodus 33, if I'm not wrong. And he tells God, Lord, if you do not go with us, then don't allow us to leave this place. I'm only going to live here and go to where you are telling me I should take your people if you go with us. If you don't go with us, I'm not going to go with you. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I will stay here until you say, I am going with you. And God says, but the people you are leading are stiff-necked. The way they are, I will consume all of them in no minute. So it's better I just give you an angel. He says, God, angel or no angel, we are not going on. We are staying here. There is only one person that I will leave this place with, and that is you. And God says, okay, I'll go with you, and my presence will go with you, and I'll show mercy to whom I'll show mercy. I'll show kindness to whom I'll show kindness. And sometimes we need to call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, we need your mercy. We need your mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The same thing happens in the life of Isaac. Isaac in Genesis 26. Everybody is leaving, going to Egypt. Everybody is leaving, going to Egypt. And God says, you're not leaving. And the reason why you want to leave is a very good reason. In the land, there is famine. And he doesn't want to die. He doesn't want his wife to die. And he says, hey, there's food in Egypt. Let me also leave. And God says, you're not leaving. You're staying here. Go to Gerar. Go to Gerar. Where there is Abimelech, you go to Gerar. He gets there and he says, I'm very, very afraid. I'm very afraid. So he talks to his wife. He says, when we get to the land, you are too beautiful. So when we get to the land, when people say, is this your wife? You have to go with me and say, I've never seen him. He's my brother. I don't know him. He's not my husband. He's my brother. And I will say the same, that you are not my wife. I will say you are my sister. So they arrive in Gerar. The first thing Abimelech sees is this beautiful. I don't know how men just see these beautiful women. And then he comes here. And his wife is almost snatched away from him. And God intervenes and he says, you dare touch this woman, you are dead. You are dead. And you may not have blamed Abimelech. Or you may want to blame Isaac. It was a mistake that Isaac made. And he made it because of fear. Haven't we made so many mistakes in our lives because of fear? Haven't we? But every time we make a mistake, God intervenes. Every time we make a mistake, God intervenes. Every time we make a mistake, God intervenes. And God intervenes. And Abimelech says, whoever touches this man's wife, he shall be dead meat. So the man begins to prosper in the land. That's not where I'm dwelling today. But there's something very interesting. As they begin to prosper in the land, they begin to face three things. Envy, strife, quarrels. To the point that the envy and the strife and the quarrels reach a point that the man decides, I just have to leave this place. There are some places, sometimes it can be a place of work, sometimes it can be among its relations, sometimes it can be anywhere where you just realize that these eyes, the way they are looking at me, somebody's cooking evil. Hallelujah. You just know, somebody is cooking evil here. But you carry on in that story. In spite of the envy, in spite of the strife, in spite of the quarrels, you know what God does? God makes a room for Isaac. And he calls that well, Rehoboth. Some of us, we need to come to that point where we can say, the Lord has made a room for us in 2023. After we went through all the envy, after we went through all the strife, after we went through all the quarrels, the Lord has given us rest. Some of us, we come to church, we need some rest. We need some rest. The battles are too much. We need some rest. And the song says, what a friend we have in Jesus. We need to call upon the name of the Lord. So in verse 23, the Bible says, then he went up from there to Beersheba. In verse 24, and the Lord appeared to him the same night. There are some places that you need to leave in order for the Lord to appear to you. There are some things you need to stop in order for the Lord to appear to you. Hallelujah. So he leaves. And then God says, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear. Last time you were afraid, you made a stupid mistake. You told people, your wife is your sister. But from now onwards, do not fear. The reason is, for I am with you. We need that kind of confidence. That the Lord is with me. And I shall not be afraid of anything. Who is man? What can man do to me? When the Lord says, I am with you, he means I am with you. Hallelujah. And you know what God says? He says, I will bless you. I will bless you. And I'll multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. And verse 25, the Bible says, so he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And called on the name of the Lord. Father, I want to thank you. For when I was afraid last time, you appeared to me. And today, you've come around and have said, I am with you. I want to tell you one thing today. God is with you. God is with you, but you need to call upon him. When you are intimidated, you need to call upon the Lord. When somebody tries to make you afraid, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. When you are threatened, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. When you suffer for no reason, you need to call upon the Lord, the name of the Lord. When they envy you, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. When the people make a decision, we will strive with them. We will strive with him. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. When people begin to quarrel with you, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. I read a very interesting story yesterday. Somebody registers a business. They begin to do the business. And as they begin to do the business, somebody goes and registers a business again in exactly their name. And this new guy who registers a business in exactly their name goes to sue this guy who had registered a business before and said, you stole a name from us. The amount of evil in this world, you cannot understand. It's only God who can come through for you. Another story, somebody begins to set a business and the business is growing and he's robbed 8 times. 8 times. Until he calls upon the name of the Lord. And I want you to understand and know that prayer is the source of the Christian life. It is our lifeline. If you want to understand what a lifeline is, ask Brother Martin. He runs a program called Lifeline. Prayer is our lifeline. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the extent that we are not New Testament Christians if we don't have a prayer life. The main thing that God asks for us is our attention. And some things will never go away until you learn to call upon the name of the Lord. Don't deceive yourself that you have got life figured out. Who are you? Which life? The one you have lived for 18 years, 12 years, 3 years old, you say you have figured out life. 35, 3, 5, 3, 3, you say you have figured out life. Which life? Even those of us who are 52, we haven't figured out life. We haven't. And sometimes we say pray and you hold your hands like this. Who do you think? We say pray and God can just decide and say, let me just take it out and let's see what we feel out more. You need to learn to call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You haven't figured out life. Even though sometimes we tell ourselves, and we actually say, now I've got everything under control. Which control? Which control? There are people Those of you are married, let me tell you this. There are people who actually want to snatch away your husband. They've been planning for a long time. There are people who want to snatch away your wife. And you just abuse her anyhow. Hey, I regret I married you. If my life wasn't with you, I would have progressed. Progress where? Progress where? The reason why you speak that stupid stuff is because you don't call upon the name of the Lord. The moment you begin to call upon the name of the Lord, you appreciate that husband more, you appreciate that wife more. You appreciate those children more. There are people who are crying for babies. There are people who are crying every day, crying before the Lord. And you, all you know is to abuse. You even call them this your head. Hallelujah. But that's a certain strategy. Certain knows that his kingdom will be damaged, will be in trouble when believers lift their hearts to God in prayer. And God is so close to the brokenhearted. God is so close to us when we are weak. You know, when you think you have got all the power, you can actually say, I know exactly how I'm going to deal with this. There's no need for me to worry about this. I've got figured it out. When you are broken, you come before the Lord. And the Lord begins to heal you. When you are broken and you begin to call on the name of the Lord, I want you to understand this. You'll be amazed with your brother. But if the spirit of brokenness, if the spirit of calling on the Lord begins to lack in your life, begins to lack in this church, I want you to understand and know we are in trouble. We are in what? Trouble. No matter what attendance we may have in this church, if the spirit of calling upon God, if the spirit of prayer, if the spirit of brokenness is not here, we are in trouble. Hallelujah. Calling upon God means to cry out to God. It means to implore Him to come to your help, to come to your aid. And that's an instance of prayer that touches God. I want you to hear this. Last year, as we were finishing last year, we began to call upon God. We decided we'll shift a bit. We'll begin to call upon God. So we began to call upon God in October. The testimonies we have seen, we've been shocked. And I was reflecting upon it. I said, you know what? Before we prayed, before God intervened, these issues were needs. There was somebody whose life was in trouble. There was somebody whose life was not going on well because God had not intervened. And because God intervened, that's why today we say it's a testimony. The woman who didn't go through Caesar, after the doctor said, you have to come, we have to cut you because your life is in danger. Until we prayed, even though some of you didn't know that woman, and God intervened because we called upon God. The man who walked because he had a stroke. God, he walked because we called upon God. All these people bought cars. All these people had new jobs. All these people had God intervening for them. There were people who were going through trouble. I remember one time talking to a sister. And somebody else sends this annoying letter. That you realize the intention is to make sure that this woman, together with her family, they become destitute. I got it. And I was angry that day. The anger that makes you to pray. And we found a way out. God gave us direction. We found a way out. Because we called upon God. And what I'm talking about is not saying prayers. Because some of you have come to a place where they told you we say prayers. Prayers we don't say. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't look at me like that. Don't threaten me. I'm saying prayers we don't say. Prayers we pray. Hallelujah. The only way to learn how to pray is to pray. That's the only way.
Hallelujah.
That's the only way you will learn how to pray. But when we say pray, you look at us. You will not learn how to pray.
Hallelujah.
Those who are children of God will naturally call on the Lord. If I am walking on the road and somebody says, Abambo Inu, and somebody says, Macduff, who do you think I'm going to turn to? The one who says Macduff. Because Abambo Inu, Alipa Abambo Inu, Ambiri Mbiri. And some of you believe that there are many gods. No, there is only one God. The God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. And sometimes we come before him and we say, you are my God. I'm calling upon you the God of Macduff. I don't care. He may be the God of Joel, but he's the God of Macduff. If we come before him and cry before him, he hears.
Hallelujah.
Actually, the Bible says, those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is not possible until you call upon the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Our calling upon God shows our dependence on him. A lot of us, we are independent states, independent nations. It shows we affirm our dependence on God. In Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I know you're drifting asleep. I know you're looking weak. I know you're looking confused. Let me tell you something you haven't heard. You haven't seen. You have meat. All of you here, all of you, from here, from front row to the back there where Steve is, from here as many to the back where Anita and Anita, it's actually Anita and Anita have formed a defense. But Anita and Anita, even though they have formed a defense, they too have needs. All of you, don't so look at me like this. You have needs. And God is saying, call upon me, I'll answer you in time of trouble. Some of you are going through trouble.
Hallelujah.
You are going through trouble. Some of you have no idea where the money for this is going to come from. Some of you have no idea where food is going to come from. Some of you, you have no idea, no idea about so many things. And God says, call upon me. Come to the throne of grace. I'll be able to give you grace there that will help you in time of need. God commands us to call upon him in times of trouble. In Psalm 50 verse 15, he says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And when I have delivered you, you shall glorify me.
Hallelujah.
And when God says, I will deliver you, he means I will deliver you.
Hallelujah.
In Psalm 91 verse 14 to 15, he says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him with long life. I will satisfy him, show him my salvation. Some of us, the last time our lives were satisfied, we can't even remember. Your life has been trouble after trouble. Don't try to pretend I know. Even though you haven't told me. Why? How do I know? I've gone through trouble. Even though sometimes we speak with a lot of confidence, it's just because we know the God is on our side. But if you ask us, so how do you think of it? We go like, we have no clue, we have no idea, we don't know how it's going to end tomorrow. But anyway, because he leaves, we can face tomorrow. Because he leaves, hey, Ophia is gone. All life is okay because he lives. That's the only thing we know. We haven't figured out all things. Hallelujah. Some of you are in debt. To the point that when we say give tithe, you feel like we start. I'm in debt and you are telling me to give. Some of you are you need to call upon the Lord that angungole aja kumbere ni chisoni. It's called mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because some of you, when somebody just calls you, call, and ugumbugirajan. Hallelujah. And the person has to say, it's not what you are thinking why I'm calling. Sometimes you just need to say, Lord, I'm calling for mercy. For 1 week, Lord, let them forget. Let them not remember that I owe them money. God, at least this week. I know, but let me just have peace, God. This week, please, please. You know, we look at each other the way we look at each other. You don't know what people are going through in their life. And a lot of us, we know how to take things. We ask you, how are you? I'm fine. Which fine? Still fine for us. Because we know you're not fine. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 2:42, it's amazing what you see there. The Bible says, when they came together, they were committed to four things. Apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. When the apostles were threatened in Acts chapter 4:23-31, the Bible says, and this is me, they didn't form a WhatsApp group and begin to discuss how they were going to deal with the situation. They didn't complain or call anyone else or even call for a demonstration and say, hey, who knows who in power? Sometimes you know nobody in power. But there was a president who had come to power. And when they were looking for somebody, they found this sister whom nobody knew. Somehow God opened. I want you to know. Look at me. Do you know God opens doors? Do you know God opens doors? Don't say, oh yeah. I say, do you know God opens doors? But you need to call upon the name of the Lord. Because the ones who open is God. And you know what he says in Isaiah 22:22? He says, when I open, no man can shut. When I shut, no man can open. The God we serve, he does miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But unfortunately, for some of us, the last time we saw a miracle is when we were born. You've never seen a miracle in your life. The only miracle in your life, your birth. And you were even born in trouble, like Jabez. But when Jabez realized, I was born in sorrow. The Bible says he called upon the name of the Lord. And he said, God, bless me indeed. Let your hand be upon my life. Enlarge my territory. Hallelujah. Make me not to cause pain. And God says, he granted what he requested. May the Lord grant you what he requests today. So in verse 31 of Acts 4, it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, like we have assembled today, it says that place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You can actually say, according to scripture, that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of prayer. He is the spirit of what? Prayer. Let us forget this thing that the only God as a creator. He is a creator, I understand. But I also know he cares. He responds to our needs. He actually understands what we are feeling. Some of you have no understanding even what you are feeling. We ask you, but I want you to know he is a God who answers. When you call upon him, he doesn't turn a deaf ear. He listens, he responds, he acts. He says, is my arm short that I can't serve? Are my ears deaf that I can't hear? And my eyes blind that I can't see? The things we can't see, God sees. And the question is, if we don't want to experience God's closeness here on earth, then why would we want to go to heaven? Because when we go to heaven, he is at the center of everything. Possibly the song we'll sing in heaven is, at the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. There is power in the name. You can do it here. The Lord at the center of everything. It's you that I see. I spoke to my sister. A few months ago, we met. She told me what it was she was desiring to do. I said,
Begin to build.
Don't wait for anything. Hey, but Pastor, it's only 2 bags of cement. I said, who created cement? Begin to build.
And she was showing me the picture. She has a roof in the house. And it's a nice house. And I said, so what are you going to use the house for? She says, it's going to be called the place of rest. I said, I've God for rest. Hallelujah. And I said, oh, come.
So when you hear I've gone on holiday, I will not disclose where I've gone. I will go to the house of rest. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So in Psalm 8, it says, you can accomplish much in your life with prayer than any clever strategies you have. So I want to challenge you what God says. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call upon me and I'll answer. And I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.